you want a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show, a seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you, a career that puts you in the driver's seat where your passions become your purpose? Do you love the world of music, the excitement of high fashion? Or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference. No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant, working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies. Or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process, helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Well, Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, M-A-D-E, is here to help you seize that seat. They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passions meet potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte MADE's website at DeloitteMADE.com. DeloitteMADE.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you. Welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast, man. This next guest still needs an introduction because there's 8 billion people in the world. I'm under the idea, Mr. Golden, that no matter how popular someone is, mm-hmm. no one knows them. You know what I mean? So I know you're
no
amazing.
One knows them.
Not no one, but in the grand scheme of things.
Oh, virtually, they're unknown to the majority of the world.
Correct. Okay. Correct. But there are some people who, there are people in their city that know them, and they just feel like they are like big dog.
Small pond. They're a big fish in a small pond. A big dog in a small yard.
So I'm still going to introduce you as if no one knows you, even though a good percentage of my audience, in my pond, they know you.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of people in the world who never heard of me, bro. It ain't that deep.
Well, today we have a gentleman, man, who is one of the most profound thinkers and communicators that I've ever met in my life. And that says a lot because I met a lot. You know what it's like?
Do tell.
If I could have... I listened to Jim Rohn.
Okay.
For a very, very long time. And I got a chance to meet him.
Oh, I definitely met him. Met him, spoke on the same platform with him a couple of times. It was
really?
Great. Yeah, bro. I'm old, bro. Okay, ish.
Bro, no, when I listened to so much of him, and I was listening to it while I was working at the Olive Garden and Cheesecake Factory, and like as a security job. And when he passed away, it was an emotional moment for me because I consumed so much of his content.
Yeah.
And it was really, really sad. I'm like, yo, what I wouldn't give to see this person, what I wouldn't give to see Jim Rohn live on stage doing what
his thing
does.
Yeah, his thing. It was fun. It was fun to watch.
So when I see you, I'm like, man, I'm so glad that I've had an opportunity to see you live. I've had an opportunity to learn from you, make a lot of money from your teaching, and sit down with you and have a conversation. This is like legendary stuff.
Cool.
So thanks for coming.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man.
I literally feel like I've been doing what I do for a long time, but I feel like a large part of my online presence, discovery, whatever happened the first time I came on your podcast.
Man.
Like Myron who? Oh, he's not an owl. Right? Right? So yeah, that was fun. My YouTube audience, and I didn't even have any videos on YouTube to speak of back then, right? My YouTube audience grew from like 3,000 people to 10,000 people in 1 year after coming on your podcast.
Wow.
Which was a lot to me.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's not a lot now because it's grown.
It's still a lot. But
how many subscribers you got now?
607,000, something like that.
Why has it grown like that?
I think there are a couple of reasons. I think the stuff that I share is unique. Mm-hmm. But I think the way that I share it is also unique. And
not just the stuff you share, but the way you share
it. The way I share it. Right. And not just the stuff I share and the way I share it. They're both unique. And I'm not doing it to get something. So I literally show up on YouTube as a value-added service to the community at large. That's my objective. And so it's interesting when you show up for people, people show up for you.
Hmm. But what about the people who show up all the time and nobody's showing up for them? I think right. we got to get into what you share and how you share it.
But that's still part of it, though. Yeah. Like people who show up all the time and nobody shows up for them. Why did nobody show up for them? Because they're showing up for people to deliver people what they want the people to have, instead of showing up for people and delivering to people what the people desire to have. There's a difference. So if I'm bringing you something that I want you to have, you might show up, you might not. But if I'm bringing you something that you've been waiting for, oh, now it's a wrap. You coming.
And how do you know what people have been waiting for? How did you discover what your audience has been waiting for?
Because I was my audience for a very long time, and I knew what I was waiting for. So it's not like, so here's what I mean, because it's really interesting. I had a coaching call this morning, and people were asking questions, and they're asking these questions. Yeah, but I have this thing, and I wrote this book, and I want to do this thing, and I created this coaching program, and I want to know the best way to sell it. Okay, can we just back that up a little bit? Because maybe the best way for you to make sales is for you not to sell the thing you already have, but to go create something that people actually want in the first place. Right? People want to bring to the marketplace the things they're vested in, instead of bringing to the marketplace the things the marketplace is vested in. I always tell people, start your business out there. Don't start your business in here by feeding yourself a microphone. Start your business out there. Don't start your business out there. Don't start your business in here. Even Jesus, you look at how Jesus like served people. What did he do? He always gave them what they knew they needed before he gave them what he knew they needed. I mean, what's worse, not having food or not having eternal life? Well, clearly not having eternal life is worse than not having food. But yet he made sure he fed them first, so that they could hear him when he gave them the important message. So you deliver to people what they want. You sell them what they want, and then eventually they'll let you deliver what they need.
So I'm gonna make this a very, very selfish interview. I want you're to know hilarious, bro. How, because I think I have an idea
sure.
of what people want, because like you said, I was them, and I still remember
right.
wanting it, needing it. Like, is right. there anybody right. that can just help me with this?
I'm take crying. Me by the hand and lead me into 100%. The financial promised land, please.
But is there a formula that that we all can figure out to help us clearly identify what they want?
I think for starters, to realize that questions are the answer. Hmm. So what does that mean? It means if you ask enough questions, people will tell you everything you need to know in order for you to serve them better. Mm. And most people would rather assume that we know or pretend that we know, because we need people to think we know, because we're so used to being in the artificial environment called school, where we're seeking to get a grade by memorizing somebody else's right answers. So our objective is to be right so we can pass a test. So we think life is like that, but there's nothing in life that mirrors that. And so if I go out into the marketplace and I ask questions, what's the single biggest challenge you have right now in your business? If I ask that to 1,000 people, I'm probably going to get 700 different answers. Mm. If I take the top answers and I write a book on those answers, people will buy that book. Why? I'm talking to them about stuff they've asked me about. So questions are the answer.
I like that. The way you said the things you share and the way you share them. So I'm yes, understanding that the things you share are based on what you know about your audience.
And what I know about life. So it's like what I know about the audience. Yeah, the things that I share, the topics that I share are topics that I believe my audience would be intrigued by or interested in. Mm-hmm. But the things that I share with them are things that I understand about life. And I generally relate it to something they already are aware of, but they may not be aware of this aspect of how it applies to their life. It's like literally this morning when I did my live Bible study, I was talking about King Solomon. What, like, before there was an internet, before there was television, radio, newspaper, any of that stuff, the scripture says he wrote 3,000 Proverbs, his songs were 1,005, and he talked about the hyssop tree that springs forth out of the wall and creeping things and four-footed beast. And then it says his fame went abroad to all nations. How? How's this fame going abroad? There's no internet. There's no TV. There's no radio. People are word of mouthing him around the world. Imagine being word of mouth around the world with no social media. Okay, why? Because when Solomon wrote proverbs and songs and stories and like epigrams, etc., he did it teaching unusual lessons from usual places, uncommon wisdom found in everyday life. You know what a tree is, but you know, Solomon's like, I bet you never thought about a tree like this. And I'm like, tell me more.
Okay. So this is getting into the how you're sharing things. So your major objective is to be able to take something that we're super familiar with.
Or at least relatively familiar with, and teach you something about that that's mind-blowing.
Give me an example.
I knew you were going to say that.
This is a very selfish interview.
Oh, it's all good, bro. But this will be really, really helpful for people because, so let's take, okay, Solomon talked about trees, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you've seen trees, right? What is a tree? Oh, it's this wood thing that grows out of the ground. Maybe sometimes it has some fruit on it, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, did you know that a tree has to grow in two directions at the same time? Did you know that?
A tree has to grow in two
directions. It's always growing in two directions at the same time. It's growing down and it's growing up.
Mm.
And what's interesting, if you could see the part of the tree that's under the ground, it looks very similar to the part of the tree that's above the ground. The root system is very similar to the fruit system. That's
crazy. I never thought about that.
See what's happening. Look, exactly. Look what's happening to your face right now.
I've seen millions of trees.
Right. And so something as common as a tree, but watch this. Here's what's interesting about a tree. The nature of a tree is that it is both gravitropic and phototropic. Now, you've never probably heard, maybe, have you ever heard of the word gravitropic before? Mm-mm. Phototropic?
Never.
Okay. So gravitropic means it grows away from light and towards gravity. That's the root system. It's gravitropic in nature. So the seed goes in the ground, and then the tree starts growing down before it starts growing up. Now, here's what's interesting. When the seed is under the ground, it's dark under the ground, it's damp, and it has resistance. The root system has resistance. It has to push through the dirt to go down further,
yeah.
Right? Well, the part, once it breaks through the earth growing up, there's no more resistance. And the part of the tree that's above the earth grows towards light and away from gravity. So the tree is growing in two directions at the same time. Now, okay, how does that help me in my life though? That sounds really cool, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that is one of the most beautiful pictures of the way life works that you've ever seen, that I've ever seen. How? It's the work that you do in the dark when it's difficult and damp that makes the work that you do that everybody sees in the light work.
Mm.
Nobody saw you. Everybody sees you now in this beautiful studio, on this podcast, on Instagram Live, on YouTube, on whatever. Everybody can see that. Oh my goodness, David Chance. But they didn't see the gravitropic nature of your journey while you were on your way here, working deep into the wee hours of the morning to become the person. That's the root system. Now, everybody proclaims and professes to desire the fruit system. Everybody wants to grow up towards, oh, just reach toward the stars, and I want everybody to see how tall I can be and how sweet my fruit is and blah, blah, blah. Well, that sounds great. But if you're unwilling to go down, you cannot go up. That's just the nature of life. In nature, before anything can go up, it has to go down.
That's good.
Right. So that's for instance.
Yeah.
So what's really cool is all principles are microcosms of each other. So everything really just keeps proving everything else because truth is simple. It's lies that are complicated. And so if you learn to look for lessons in everything, sometimes you might just find them.
Okay, that was mind blowing. That was incredible. Okay, can I?
Oh, do your thing.
One more layer.
Do your thing.
So you see a tree, you see these amazing things from the ground to the soil in the microscopic,
the gravitropic,
gravitropic,
and the phototropic.
Yes, you see that, right?
Well, I see it, but what I see first is the tree.
Yeah,
and I look at it, I think, "Oh, that's interesting." It's a tree. Wonder how it does that. And then I'm reading the Bible and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delights in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." And then it says, "And he shall be like a tree." I'm thinking, a tree? Why is he going to be like a tree? What does that even mean? Right? You see, so this is what I mean, questions are the answer.
Yeah.
So he should be like a tree. I have to ask myself, what does that mean? Why would it? Okay, first of all, why are you saying he's going to be like a tree? And then now that you said that, why would anybody care to be like a tree? Mm-hmm. Don't you want, he'll be plant like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. What's the benefit of that? Well, a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters is pliable. So when the winds blow and the storm comes, the tree doesn't fall over. Mm-hmm. It doesn't snap. Why? Because it's by the rivers of waters. So it's pliable like a tree, but it's planted like a tree. Planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth its fruit in a season. It's productive like a tree, but it brings forth its fruit in a season. It's predictable like a tree. His leaf also shall not wither. So it's pretty like a tree and protective like a tree. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, it's prosperous like a tree. Now that's, to me, just the result of asking a bunch of questions when I read it instead of saying, "Wow, that was nice."
That's good. I didn't even get to ask my question. I'm peeling back the layer.
Peel it back.
Well, no, I mean, you answered it already. It's like, how do you see a tree and get curious about that? And
no, that's not the question though. How do you see a tree and not be quite curious about it? How do you see a tree and not be curious about
it? There's a bunch of ways to see a tree and not be curious about the tree.
Really?
100%. I think the question is, though, can curiosity be taught? Can you teach someone to be curious?
I don't think you have to teach people to be curious. I think the culture hypnotic societal mechanism teaches people not to be curious. I think everybody's naturally curious. People are, like, when you're born, look at little babies and all the stuff they attempt to do and you have to stop them. Why? They're curious. We squelch curiosity. We don't have to create it. We do have to cultivate it. We do have to encourage it. Can it be taught? I think teaching people not to be afraid of their curiosity and not to feel stupid because they have curiosity. A lot of people feel like, if I'm curious, that means I'm dumb because I don't know. And school teaches you that knowing the answers makes you smart. Well, to me, asking the questions makes you smart, not knowing the answers.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I do agree with that. So I think even as this conversation is like, I'm starting to run through my mind, which I am a curious person, but.
Oh, I know. You've asked me a bunch of questions in my life.
Right, yeah, for sure.
You curious, all right.
I don't think I'm nearly as curious. So I'm curious about like people, right?
Me too.
I think what I need to develop is my curiosity around the things that people don't think of. You know what I mean? So sure. Like there's so many things that you share, right? And after you're done sharing them, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Why not? I would have shared it the way you shared it, but I'm like, now that is a concept right there. I want you to talk about this if you can.
Okay.
If you will. You went through these four layers of value, and I was actually, honestly, this is a couple months ago, I was thinking, did Myron create that?
No.
You did not?
I discovered it. It's in the Bible. Bro, no, I discovered it. It's in Genesis chapter 1 and 2.
It doesn't say that the lowest.
The level of value. Bro, don't, all right.
It doesn't say that.
Bro, you don't, that might, okay, I'm just telling you.
Let me not say it doesn't
it's in
say
there.
That because I don't.
It's, bro, it's in there. That's where I found it. I didn't create it. I just discovered it.
You put it in that format, though. These layers, and you named
levels,
them.
The four levels of value.
Four levels of value.
I named it the four levels of value, but I didn't. But I was just observing what was there. and asking questions. I know this sounds so super oversimplified. I don't mean it to sound that way.
It's not. It's simple to you because you. It's simple to you.
It's how my brain works. It's just how my brain works. Like, I wonder what this means. I wonder what that means. I wonder what this means. I wonder how that works. Well, I wonder if I take this apart, will I be able to put it back together? If I put it back together, will it still work? That's who I was growing up my whole life.
Yeah.
I told people, my mom was a beautician. And so she used to have these styrofoam mannequin heads. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about? They put wigs on in beauty shops. So we used to get walkie talkies and stuff. So I took a walkie talkie apart and I took like a kitchen knife and I cut the bottom part of this styrofoam head out and I put the speaker from the walkie talkie in where the mouth would be. And then I cut a hole in the top, put the walkie talkie down in there and then I put the thing back on it so I can make the walkie talkie talk. I mean, so I can make the mannequin head talk. I was wondering, hey, well, this seems like it would be fun. I wonder how this would work. I don't know. I know it's weird. I get it, bro. But I wonder what would happen if. What if everybody looked at something and said, I wonder what would happen if?
Yeah.
Or I wonder how that works. I wonder if this could do that.
Yeah.
Because that's how Steve Jobs came up with the iPhone. Taking seemingly unrelated things and seeing a connection between them. That's where the magic happens.
So can that be developed or is that a gift?
1,000% can be
developed. Can it be developed?
Yes. Can I recommend a book that I would recommend people read?
Absolutely.
Okay. And all of my favorite books if you want to get all my favorite books, you can go to MyronGoldenAMZ.com and it's all there. But this book, you'll find it there. Okay. You ready?
Not really, because I'm going there right now. Hopefully my audience will too.
So here's the book.
Okay.
Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs by Carmine Gallo.
Hold on. I'm sorry.
The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs.
The Innovation Secrets of Steve Jobs
by Carmine Gallo. And it's a book that Carmine Gallo wrote about why Steve Jobs was able to create so many things that revolutionized so many different industries in his lifetime, even though he only lived to be 56 years old.
Mm.
And Steve Jobs would see the connection between seemingly unrelated things. And I was like, oh, that reminds me of me. I read the book. I was like, oh, that's what I do. Just seems like just the how life is. But no, clearly not. So,
But that's how you are.
But that's how I am. It's how my brain works.
But the question is,
can it be taught?
Can it be taught?
It can be. If someone will, I believe it can be taught. And then it can be cultivated and it can be taught, but even more importantly, I think than being taught, it can be learned. So a person can learn it without somebody teaching it to them. They can learn it by asking you more and better questions.
And I would imagine desiring to be that.
Well, desiring to know. Yeah. Like I didn't ask a bunch of weird questions growing up and ask a bunch of weird questions now because I desired to be something. I just wanted to know. Yeah. I just wanted to know how it works. I didn't know it was going to make me be something. My desire was just, I wonder how this works.
Got you. Okay. And you've always been like that.
Since I can remember, yeah.
But when did we turn the corner to, okay, this is how I am, but this is how I'm going to use it to earn?
Oh, I don't know that I turned that corner. I stumbled into making money with all this learning stuff and teaching stuff. That was a stumble upon.
Really?
Yeah. Big time. That was a stumble upon, bro. Like, I knew stuff when I was in my 20s. I could have been fairly wealthy in my 20s, but I didn't know that was you could make money just because you knew stuff. Mm-hmm. No, that was a stumble upon.
That was a stumble upon.
Yeah.
Now, fast forward.
Fast forward.
You go from being amazing your whole life and...
My whole life.
Amazed... To you, from your perspective, amazing to other people.
Okay.
I remember first time hearing you speak, it was amazing to me. It was amazing. Okay. I was amazed.
I believe you.
Yes, absolutely.
I believe you. When was the first time you heard me speak? Where was it?
It had to be, here's what's crazy. It was on Clubhouse. I didn't see your
face
or anything. I just heard. And I said, what is this? Like, What in the world is he talking about? How did, why did he say that like that? Shit, I could have thought of that.
You're hilarious, bro. You're hilarious.
So I'm listening, and it's infectious. I'm just having a challenge. I think that some people have a thing, right?
Everybody has a thing.
Everybody does have a thing. And I've heard good speakers before, but it was something so magnetic about what you were saying. And I didn't have to see a picture or anything, but it just, my ears were glued, right? So.
That was a word picture. Your ears were glued. Wow. Okay, I saw that.
Glued? Yes. Okay. Little baby myron right now. I'm glued to the phone.
Right, because you're listening on Clubhouse.
Just listening on Clubhouse. And I'm fascinated on how you're able to keep my attention. It's making sense now because you're taking, based on what you're saying, you're taking things that I'm familiar with and connecting them with things that seemingly don't go together, but it fits perfectly, right? Sure. And this becomes your way of teaching.
Sure.
But it's got to be in terms of like being articulate. Sure. I need, there's got to be more than those two because, but do you study teaching cadence? Is there anything you can give me on that?
Yeah, I think I've studied teachers and watched cadence. I can remember as a teenager. See, there I'm weird again. I was probably 19, 20 years old. I can remember watching preachers on television who I thought were good preachers. And I just turned the sound down and watch how they move because I thought it was fascinating that they were communicating with their whole body, not just with their mouth.
At 19.
Yeah. It's what I was into, bro.
Who was the first person you remember like, okay, audio off, and try to paint a picture of what you saw and what was going on in your mind?
Who was the first person? Man, that's a good question because it was TV. And TV wasn't really even clear enough back then to see who the person was. Right? Who was the first person I could,
or when did you go remember like,
well, I can even remember before that. I can remember being blown away when I was a kid, when my mom used to make us listen to Martin Luther King speeches and thinking to myself, wow,
while he was alive.
Yeah. Well, Martin Luther King was killed in 68. So I would have been seven. Right. So I heard speeches of him while he was alive, but I heard more of his speeches after he was gone.
Gotcha. Right.
But just thinking to myself, wow, the way he said what he said was just amazing. The way he communicated, his tone of voice, the way he captivated you with the resonance in his voice, and the way he painted word pictures, it was beautiful. So I don't remember who the first person was I saw on television, but I do remember the first time I ever heard a sermon that was a sermon that actually just blew me away. In that it was powerful, and because I was poor, and I had a cassette tape player, and I only had a handful of tapes, and so I'd listen to these tapes over and over. And there was this guy; he was an evangelist then; he's a pastor now, but he preached a message called "What a Name," and he was talking about the name Jesus, and he went through all the letters of the alphabet, starting with A all the way down to Z. On the names of Jesus, he is Adam, advocate, anointed, apostle, author, amen, alpha, ancient of days, born of a woman, beginning, begotten, beloved, branch, etc., all the way through Z, right? And I listened to that thing over and over. I listened to that thing over and over and over again, and eventually I memorized it, not because I was attempting to memorize it, but eventually it became like a song. You hear it so many times, you know the words, you know the cadence. And so, but I had other tapes also, like, I had this guy, V.R. Lakin. He was an old, old, like, Southern Baptist evangelist. Who was it that put the moon and the sun in the heavens and decked the heavens with the stars and smooth out a plane? So I'd listen to him. And then I could say the whole sermon with him. And another guy, R.G. Lee. And I would just listen to him over and over. Like, I'm talking about hundreds of times. Maybe even thousands of times. And so I would listen. And what happens, if you find somebody who's great at communicating and you listen to them communicate hundreds of times or thousands of times, you will eventually begin to fire off the same synapses in your brain or fire off the same messages in your brain that they're sending in theirs. And then the words that you're saying and the way that you're saying them are communicating to your body, and you become the message, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
And so I studied a lot, like I listened to a lot of great sermons and the way they put them together. And then eventually my mind just started working like that.
Okay.
We're working through it.
Yeah.
So interestingly enough, so I've got a friend, Kenny Grant. He was the pastor of a church in Brunswick, Georgia called Maranatha Baptist Church. So he left and was pastoring in Savannah, Georgia. Well, I went through Brunswick and spoke there as an evangelist, and they asked me to come be their pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I moved to Brunswick, Georgia with my family. I was the pastor of this church. And I preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, teaching through the Bible, just doing my thing. So I see Kenny one day at this other church. I'm like, Kenny, because he's like, you want to hear a great speaker? This dude is on a level.
What's his name?
Kenny Grant.
Kenny Grant.
So he's on a level. So I'm like, okay, Kenny. I said, bro, when you're preaching, it's just different than anybody else I've ever heard. How do you do that thing you do where you just make everything? It all sounds like a song. It looks like you're just eating a good sandwich and everybody's watching you enjoy it. Like, how do you do that? And he said to me, I was so mad. He said, oh man, I don't know. My mind just run that way. Yeah, man. I don't know, man. You know, the preachers I read after, their mind run that way. And my mind just run that way. Now I'm mad because I thought, he don't want to tell me. He's got like this secret sauce for communicating, and he doesn't want to tell me what it is.
All right.
I said, okay, so who are these preachers you read after? And he gave me some people's names. So one of them, I got a book by this guy, and he was an older preacher. I think he's probably dead now. But he wrote like commentary sermons through books of the Bible. Okay, cool. So I got this book. So I'm in New York City, and all of this really contributed greatly to my communication style. Like all of the story I'm telling you right now.
We are unpacking some stuff right now. This is good.
So I'm in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn. I'm speaking at my friend Vinny Sawyer's church. And I'm like, hey, Vinny, I got this book. And Vinny's one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard. I got this book that my friend Kenny Grant recommended to me. It's got these sermon outlines. And I said, aren't these cool? And I gave him the book. And Vinny says, yeah, they're all right. Now I'm confused. I'm like, Kenny's like the greatest preacher speaker dude I know. Vinny's one of the best, probably the best out of the best two Bible teachers I've ever heard in my life. And I showed Vinny this book and he's like, yeah, it's all right. And now I'm really confused. But questions are the answer. Mm-hmm. And I know Vinny's not ego trip. He has no ego.
Yeah.
He's just a regular dude. And he's just being honest. Yeah, it's all right. I'm like, okay. There's a reason that Kenny thinks this is great. He's a great communicator. Vinny thinks it's okay. What is it? What's the thing that's different between these two amazing human beings? So I said, Vinny, why do you say that? He said, I just don't like one word outlines. So I'm like, okay, what does that mean? He said, I don't like people have the man, the method, and the message. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. Like he said, I believe that every point in your outline should be a complete thought. Ooh, that's so good. So I learned alliteration from John Phillips, Adrian Rogers, all these older preachers, but I learned how to turn that alliteration into a complete thought from Vinny Sawyer. And so now I've got this combination of these two secret sauces, and you put them together and it becomes this thing that nobody's ever seen before.
Man.
Isn't that crazy?
All because you asked
the question. Yeah, like why? Like what? What do you mean? Like, how do you do that thing you do? Well, yeah, my mind just run that way. Okay, cool. Who are you reading after, Russ, since you don't want to tell me? And I told Kenny that later.
Who got some minds that run that way?
Yeah, exactly. I told him later, when you told me that, I was so mad at you, I thought you didn't want to tell me. He started laughing. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. He said, Myron, I'm going to tell you something. He said, man, I just do what I do, man. I don't sit down and figure out why it works. He said, you sit down, man. You're like, why does this work? Why does that work, man? He said, I don't know. I ain't curious like you, bro. I just do the thing.
Man, this is so good because I think that people think that they can become something overnight. And you're telling these stories from when you were a child – putting a walkie-talkie on a mannequin to being 19 years old to talking to a guy named Vinny in New York from a Baptist preacher in the South, and it just becomes like baking a cake.
Exactly. It's all these different ingredients.
Yes.
Over time.
And I think people don't appreciate the ingredients.
Right. Or the time.
Or the time that it takes.
That part. To become the person who can do the thing.
Man, so you've been paying attention since you were a child.
Oh. If you don't pay attention, you're going to pay for not paying attention.
I like that. So this is, and I want to get into kind of the offers because you are known for the offers, but.
Well, before you do that, because you asked me about the four levels of value.
Yeah. So no. Okay, hold on. Okay. I got you. Trust me.
Because you ain't going to leave me. You ain't going to leave these folks hanging. I got y'all. I'm
not skipping over that.
Okay. All right, we good.
I'm catching our audience.
I didn't mean to come at you like that in your own studio, Chance. I'll pump the brakes, bro.
I'm catching our audience up so they don't think this is a communications. This whole thing is on communications, which we'll be communicating. But I want to get to offers, but I think people can have an amazing offer.
Yes.
Based on what I've learned from you. But if you aren't able to articulate it or communicate it in a way.
Sure.
And you're intentional about your communication.
That makes it appealing to them.
Absolutely.
That uncovers what they value in that offer.
Yeah.
They ain't buying it.
Can I tell you, this is a safe space, right? I'm a hater a little bit.
You're a hater?
Yeah.
Okay, who you
hate? On one of my best friends.
Huh?
On one of my best friends.
Okay. Which one?
Her name is Donnie.
Oh, Donnie. Donnie Wiggins.
Yeah.
What's up, Donnie?
A little bit.
Okay.
So we put out a bunch of clips on YouTube and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the clips from our interviews, hers always gets more traction. And it's not because she's more attractive. Might have a little something to do with it, but it's not. It's not. That's a little bit to do with it. So I'm like, why does her clips get better traction than mine? Right?
Okay.
So I start looking at the interviews. When Donnie speaks, it just comes out, right? It's not like she has to think about it. It just comes out and flows. When I'm looking at the way I communicate, there are little pauses and breaks in how I communicate because I'm talking, but my mind is working at the same time, and there's like little interruptions, and it's hard for the whole complete thing to come out.
Okay.
So I was a hater for just a little bit, but that taught me that I am curious and more intentional about not stopping and starting and trying to let it all come out. So mm-hmm. I learned that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I just felt convicted to talk about how I was a hater just now.
Gotcha. Yeah, good. Well, I'm glad you got through that. I was hating on Kenny Grant for not wanting to tell me. So we all got somebody we hated on for a reason or two.
Yes. So you created the four levels of value. I didn't create it, bro.
I keep saying I discovered it. You can say I created it. I didn't create it. I discovered it. It was in there.
Let me give a good example.
Yes, sir.
You created DD or you discovered DD? You discovered
procreated.
Yes, because she was something inside of someone.
Yeah.
And then when you had to add something to it, and here we have DD.
Okay, but that's right? Not the same thing. That's not the same thing.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's like if I go along, I'm walking down the road, and there's a rock on the road, and I pick the rock up.
That was
I discovered the rock. I didn't create the rock.
Right.
The rock already existed.
Right. Okay.
It didn't need me to come by in order for it to be a rock. It was a rock whether I found it or not.
For sure.
But the four levels of value, whether I found them or not.
Did you name them?
I named it the four levels of value.
Okay. I was Googling it because I wanted to I was really Googling it.
Sure.
But I couldn't find anyone that said it before you. I was like, oh, wow.
Well, maybe nobody ever said it before me. I don't know that nobody ever said it, but there have been a lot of people alive, like billions who've gone on before us. I don't know that none of them ever said it. I don't know that nobody ever saw it. It's there, so it would not shock me if somebody else saw it.
That is a very humble way of approaching this. So the four levels of value. Just
transparent, bro.
I think that is probably one of the most marvelous pieces of thought you've ever put together.
Oh.
It's incredible.
You should see The Gardener is the Garden. That's crazy. It'll make you like lose your mind. We'll come back to it. I promise.
Okay. I won't forget.
Neither will I.
Okay. The four levels of value, because it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
It's implementation.
That's the lowest level.
The lowest level of value is implementation. The second level of value is organization.
Unification.
Mm-hmm. Third level of value, communication.
And the highest level of value is imagination.
Imagination, yes. Yeah, sure. It's true in all aspects of life.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing how it keeps showing up.
Okay, so walk me through how you discovered this.
Oh, okay, cool.
I love this guy.
Well, okay, so. Here's what it says. Genesis chapter 1. First of all, there's so many success principles in Genesis chapter 1. It's like God gave us a wink and said, if you don't get to chapter 2, you're going to be all right.
Hold on real quick. Can you center Myron a little bit for Instagram, Reese? I don't know if you can. But go ahead.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
So when God created three categories in creation. Mm-hmm. He created creation.
Yeah.
The sun, the moon, the stars, the water, the grass, the trees.
Yeah.
He created creation. Mm-hmm. He created creatures, dogs, cats, alligators, chimpanzees, turtles, etc. Mm-hmm. Creatures.
Yep.
The last thing that God created was creators or creatives. That's us, mm-hmm. humans. Well, when God created creation, he said, let there be light. And there was light. When God created creatures.
It's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been censored in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
He said, let the earth bring forth the land animals, and let the waters bring forth the fish and the fowl. When God created man, he didn't say, let there be man. And he didn't say, let the earth bring forth man. And he didn't say, let the waters bring forth man. What did he say?
I created.
Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Okay, so when God created man, he said, let us make man in our image. What does that tell us? It tells us that the image had to exist before he could say that. Because if it didn't, he wouldn't be able to say it. Mm-hmm. So the highest level of existence is the image of God. Mm-hmm. Imagination is the highest level of value. Then God said, let us make man in our image. That's communication. Mm-hmm. You tracking?
100%.
But he didn't say, let me make man in my image. Mm-hmm. He said, let us make man in our image. That's unification. That's all happened in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's implementation. The lowest part of man is the flesh. It's the part that dies. Then what did he do? He breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. Mm-hmm. Cool. So that's implementation. So we see when God created the crown of his creation, which is creatives or creators, he used imagination, communication, unification, and implementation. The lower we go, the less spiritual it is. The physical part of us is not spiritual, it's physical. Unification is a higher spiritual activity than doing the thing yourself. Managing people who do the thing, that's a higher level of spiritual activity. Yeah. Talking is something, like language is something only spiritual beings have. And then imagination is another thing that only spiritual beings have. So those, now, okay, that's all well and good. So that's where I got that from. Well, that's where it started, but it didn't end there.
Right.
I'm reading Genesis chapter 11. And it says, the children, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And this they began to do. They said, let us build a tower, a city and a tower whose top can reach heaven. There's no cranes, there's no helicopters, there's no hydraulics. You're going to build a tower whose top can reach heaven. Like, what chucklehead came up with that idea? Like, who thought that would work? Right? Who thought, like, how are you going to build a tower? You don't have any hydraulics, you don't have any cranes, you don't have any helicopters. How are you going to get stuff up to the top, bro? Everything about it's nonsensical. Mm-hmm. But here's what it says. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built it. And he said, because this people is one, that's unification. They all have one language, that's communication. This they begin to do, that's implementation. Now nothing will be refrained from them which they've imagined, that's imagination, to do. Mm-hmm. So they're doing something that, first of all, it's wrong, because what they're doing is they're saying, we want to build a tower and a city and a tower whose top can reach heaven, because if God sends another flood, we want to be safe from that flood. So we want to disregard what God says, do our own thing, and then escape judgment. That's number one. And number two, it's just a bad idea. But God says, because they have communication, they have imagination, communication, unification, imagination, and implementation, nothing will be refrained from them which they've imagined to do. Wait, what? And I started thinking, wait a minute. Everybody has to work in one of those four areas.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, like, none of us got together and decided this. Well, if somebody is using their body, their muscles over time to make money, we're just not going to pay them that much.
Implementation.
You're going to make somewhere between minimum wage and $80,000 a year. $80,000 is the ceiling.
$80,000 is the ceiling for someone
who's using their muscles
Over
time. The resources you're using are what's going to determine the wealth that you create. If you're using your muscles, you're cleaning something, you're lifting something, you're moving something, you're fixing something. Like you're a mechanic and you work on a Bentley or a Rolls Royce or whatever, you might make $80,000 a year. You make tacos at Taco Bell, you're going to be making a minimum wage, whatever. But you're using your muscles. The reason you're getting paid minimum wage, you're using your muscles over time.
Yeah.
And muscles are a limited resource, a physical resource rather. You can only move so much. Yeah. Time is a limited resource. So you're multiplying a physical resource times a limited resource. How can you produce anything but a limited income? But when you have unification and you're managing people, you literally now don't have to get just 100% of your own efforts, but you can get 1% from the efforts of 100 people and still make the same amount of money. That's unification. It's a higher level of spiritual activity than doing the thing yourself. But then communication.
But okay, unification
is management. You use your management skills. That's the resource.
Always
you
make more than
the people you're managing generally, unless you're managing salespeople, because salespeople are communicators.
Communication, yeah.
Right, and so sales. So there are salespeople who make more money than the sales manager that manages them.
Right, because they're using operating two of.
There you go. They're operating at a higher spiritual level.
Maybe even three because they have this idea.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. So that's what I mean when I say I discovered it. I didn't create that. Yeah. I just saw an application of a principle that worked perfectly in a different arena.
Yeah. Why is communication so high up?
Oh, because only spiritual beings have communication. And communication is how, like with my communication, I can direct your focus. Think about how cool that is. I can get you to think about something by just talking to you. Wait, what? Like I can get, like you can be like really sad and depressed. I can have a conversation with you about something that makes you happy and you can forget that you're sad and depressed.
That's true.
You can be pitiful, poor, broke as a joke, ready to choke. Somebody who knows how to make money can have a conversation with you, show you one little tweak, you go do it, and you can become a millionaire. So communication, like really valuable communication is the transference of truth that gives us the ability to focus on the way things are, that causes us to feel really good about it so that we can function at a higher level. We get a focus in our head, a feeling in our heart, and a function in our hand that causes us to produce a better and higher result. It's just, so that's why communication unifies. It's why you have people, that's why somebody like Martin Luther King could change the minds of people who were born into a culture that was bigoted and hated black people for no reason other than the color of their skin. And his words changed them. That's why musicians and comedians, they can change how people feel about things because they're communicators.
This is good.
And then the highest level of value is imagination. The resource you use on that. So you use your mouth on the communication level and you use your mind, but on the highest level, you use your mind and you use your money to make money.
What is the, there's no, and I'm trying to figure out the implementation side for someone. Okay. A doctor implements.
He does. But he doesn't just implement. He has to go to school for 22 years to learn how to use his imagination and know what to implement.
That was good. I tried, y'all. It still works.
A swing and a miss. No.
All right, and I understand that. Do me a favor, you all, throw it in the chat. What level of implementation
or what level of value are you working at?
Predominantly spend your time.
Exactly.
And you know what? There are these people, though. Let's talk about this group who spend a lot of time in imagination, but don't have the other three.
Right. You got to have all of them. And see, what's really cool is the people who operate at the highest levels of imagination, they're generally, not always, but oftentimes they're really good communicators. Not always. But almost all the time, they have people under them who are unified, who are communicators, unifiers, and implementers. They come up with the idea. Steve Jobs didn't invent the Apple computer. Steve Wozniak did that.
Yeah.
But Jobs knew what it was.
Before it was.
Before it was what it was.
Dang, I tried to be deep, and then you out-deeped me. Because you said he knew what it was. I was like, before it was. He said before you was. Okay. I'm trying to operate on this third level of value. Okay, you mentioned something about the green.
You're hilarious, bro.
The green house. Green.
The gardener who's the garden?
The garden. Hey, y'all, I ain't gonna lie, man. They sent me this Eufy lock. Think about being on a couch. Someone rings the doorbell. Your child left their key at school, and they need you to get off the couch to open the door. Well, you don't have to do it anymore with this Eufy lock. You can open, unlock, see who's at the door all on your phone. It's super easy to install. You can set up with just a Phillips screwdriver. No drilling required. It's keyless entry. So it's no more fumbling for your keys when your hands are full coming from the grocery store. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Listen, you put your fingerprint on there. Even if you got your bags, you put one finger out there, boop, you get to unlock your door that way. No battery anxiety. You don't have to worry about the battery dying. Quick charging. It's incredible. Also, passcode unlocking and remote control with a 2K clear sight camera so you can see who's at the front door. You're in control anywhere from the app. Enhanced night vision. It's absolutely incredible. No monthly fee either. So unlike other brands that charge a monthly fee, you have recordings locally, and you don't have to pay for the storage. Customer support is on 10. Listen, Eufy is on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by our professional customer service team. Listen, you can contact them anytime, telephone, email, or live chat. Okay, listen, you need this Eufy lock. You need to look it up. All you have to do is go to the official website, Eufy.com. I just ordered mine, okay? I love this product. It is incredible. It's a game changer. It makes life so much easier, right? So if you have a video doorbell already or any smart lock, it's time to replace it. It's time to replace it. So listen, search Eufy, E-U-F-Y, video lock. Search Eufy Video Lock. That's E-U-F-Y Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Okay? You can get a complete control of your front door, your life, back door. Incredible. Okay? So search Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Who is the garden?
Who is the garden?
Are you? But are you sure you want to go there? Can you handle it? So this is the thing.
Well, let me ask you, out of curiosity, you think I can handle it?
Yeah, sure. You're David Chan.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. All right, guys, if you can't, just let me know you can't. But okay, let's go.
Okay. So what's interesting is people talk about the economic pie. Get a bigger piece of the economic pie, smaller piece of the economic pie. Well, the economic pie is a farce. It's like not a real concept. It's something some economist made up because he couldn't think of anything else, or maybe he needed some attention, right? The economy is not represented well by a pie, because if a pie was a good way for evaluating value in the world, God wouldn't have put man in a garden. He would have put him in a bakery. When God made man, he put him in a garden. Why? Garden's God's ideal environment for man. Which, by the way, we can learn a lot from gardening. Okay.
I know. But,
okay. So God,
this is going to be good. I can just really good.
So God makes man. It says God planted a garden east from Eden. So God's the one who made the garden. Then he made the man and put the man in the garden. Mm-hmm. Okay. He put the man in the garden to dress it and keep it. What's dress mean? It means to cultivate. Keep, what's that mean? To protect it. But the garden, the word garden, means enclosure. So it was already a protected place. The word Eden means pleasure. So God's ideal environment for man is a protected place of pleasure and provision. That's God's ideal environment for man. The protected place of pleasure and provision. Okay, you're tracking. I can see it. It's like the lights, you're lighting up right now. Okay, so cool. So
you discover this.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
I just looked up the words.
Yo, you can't be hitting me with the, oh, I just looked at it. Listen, it's in the way you're processing this information is very, very different.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. I believe you. I believe you. I'm not going to even argue with you. I believe that what you're saying is true.
Let's go.
Okay. So the Garden of Eden is the protected place of pleasure and provision. But God puts the man there to protect the place that's protecting him. Because that's what it says. Mm-hmm. To dress it and keep it. Okay, cool. Well, what was the man made from? What did God use to make man?
Dust of the ground and breath of
life. Dust of the ground, right. Okay. So God goes down in the dirt, the same dirt that he planted the garden in, and he makes the man from the same dirt. So, the man is made from the same dust that the garden is planted in. Okay, that's cool. So, when God first spoke to man, the first thing God ever tells about God is that he's creative. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When I read that, I ask, why would he do that? Mm-hmm. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need heaven. He doesn't need earth. Doesn't need people. So why would he do all that? The only answer I've been able to come up with, and maybe you have a better one or somebody else does, because he is creative and therefore it is his nature to create. God created everything as an expression of his creativity. Okay, cool. That's the first thing God tells. First thing God tells us about God is not that he's love, it's not that he's righteous, it's not that he's jealous, it's not that he's just, even though he's all those things. The first thing God tells us about God is that he's creative. Cool, that's so cool. The first thing that he tells us about us is that he created us in his image, which means he created us to be creative and he made us to make stuff. Because we're made in the image of God.
I'm writing these.
Okay. You're with me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But what's the first thing God ever said to man? Like when you meet somebody and it's somebody important and you tell them something, the thing you tell them, or this meeting's important, the first thing that you tell them is one of the most important things you want them to know, right? Yes. Right?
Yes.
Okay. What's the first thing God ever said to man? Like this is the first conversation between God and man ever. And God says, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Okay, what does that mean? Be fruitful. What's fruit? What's fruitful mean? Well, Genesis 1 tells us what a fruit is. A fruit is a living organism whose what? Whose seed is in itself. So when God's saying be fruitful, he's saying to the man, you produce on the outside of you based on the seed that I planted on the inside of you. So what's the seed that God planted on the inside of us? I believe that God planted an aspect of his creativity inside of all of us. Mm-hmm. And our job is to cultivate that creativity in the garden that is us to make it bring forth fruit.
Okay. Help me understand. Help me understand that on a...
I'm fixing to.
On an implementation level.
Oh, I'm about to. Oh yeah, we ain't gonna keep it all up here. We're gonna get down and play in the dirt.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he said, be fruitful and multiply. So when he said, be fruitful, produce on the outside based on what I put on the inside. Multiply, what's that mean? Increase. Yep. What is increase? It means be fruitful, multiply. Multiply means increase. In other words, the natural result of fruitfulness is growth. Mm-hmm. You're gonna become more than you've been. You're gonna have more than you've had. You're gonna do more than you've done. Okay, yeah. Cool. Be fruitful, multiply. Replenish the earth. Fill up the earth. That's the natural result of increase. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have dominion. Cool. God planted an aspect of his creativity as a seed inside of us. Now here's what's interesting. That's my daughter. Mm-hmm. he gave her a different aspect of his creativity than he gave me. He gave me a different aspect than he gave her. He gave you a different aspect than he gave me. He gave me a different aspect than he gave you. And what's interesting is about our eyes, the only person we can't see is ourselves. Unless we look in a mirror, right? We can't see. I can't look at me. I can look at you, right? So it's easy for me to see what gifts you have. It's way harder for me to see what gifts I have, right? And so we go around, most people go around wishing God had planted somebody else's seed inside of us. And so we neglect our seed and don't dress and keep our garden because we're wishing we had their seed. That's but they're right. At the same time looking at us and wishing they had ours.
Man. That's interesting.
It is. So here's what it says. Now I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to bring it home to the practical.
You ready? I think you brought it home already a little bit.
Okay. No.
It's home, right, Reese?
No, it ain't home. It's about,
like, kinda,
to,
I mean,
it's about to be home. It's about to be home.
We're in the driveway for sure.
Okay, we're on the street.
Like as you're talking, I'm like, wow.
We're on the street. We're on the street.
Okay.
We're on the street. Isaiah chapter 55, it says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. For my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord, neither are my thoughts your thoughts." You ready? Here it is.
Let's go.
"As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud." The rain and the snow come from heaven and water the earth and make the earth bring forth and bud. Why? That it may give bread to the eater, that's consumption to the consumer, and seed to the sower, that's production to the producer. You ready? "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. And it," what, "my word, shall prosper in the thing," it will not return unto me void, but it will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So I'm going to tell you the real secret sauce behind everything Myron Golden. You ready?
Talk to me.
Since I was 17 years old, I have watered the soil that is me and saturated it with the truth of the word of God. And that word makes my life productive so that it may give bread to the eater, consumption to the consumer, and seed to the sower, production to the producer.
We're home. We're home. First off, I just want to get y'all. That was...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.